Welcome to the Startup Grind Podcast.
Starting a company is not for the faint of heart.
It's always questioning, tweaking.
Where we talk to entrepreneurs, venture capitalists, and thought leaders about how to build a great company.
Like my friends, like you think you're crazy.
I think you got to be a little nuts.
And change the world in the process.
We optimize for impact instead of profit.
It's never been a more exciting time to be an entrepreneur.
From Startup Grind chapters across the globe.
The chapter director for Cape Town.
Boise, Idaho.
London.
Mala, Palestine.
Guangzhou, China.
And delivered to you every Monday and Wednesday.
It's a Startup Grind.
Quick question. How many emails do you have in your inbox right now? 100? 1,000? 20,000? If your email is anything like mine used to be, the answer is too many. But here's the thing, even though I knew I wanted to do something about it, I just didn't know how. I knew I'd miss something important if I just deleted them all, and there were too many emails to go through one at a time. Thankfully, I found Samebox, and I can't recommend it enough. Samebox sorts through your email and moves all of the trivial stuff into a different folder so only the messages in your inbox are the ones you actually want to see. There's also this amazing thing called Black Hole. Move an email into that folder and you'll never hear from that sender again. It's so rewarding. Visit samebox.com/startupgrind today and get an extra $20 credit on top of the already free 2-week trial. Check it out today and let me know if you love reaching inbox zero as easily as I do nowadays. Again, that's samebox.com/startupgrind.
Hey there and welcome to Monday's episode of the Startup Grind Podcast. Today we have an inspiring presentation from Ileana Montauk, the co-founder and chief operating officer of Gaza Sky Geeks, the first startup accelerator in Palestine, launched with support from Mercy Corps and Google in 2009. Before arriving to Gaza Sky Geeks, Ileana helped launch WAMDA's research lab. She also previously worked at Google, the Monitor Group, which is now part of Deloitte Consulting, a startup that failed, and a microfinance nonprofit. She graduated from Harvard in 2006 and claims to speak 5 languages. Let's listen in to Ileana Montauk speak about founding Gaza Sky Geeks from Startup Grind's global conference earlier this year.
So hi, everyone. As you just heard, I helped launch the first ever startup accelerator in Gaza, run by Mercy Corps, the international humanitarian organization. And the way I got there was a little bit unexpected. I'm from the Bay Area originally. I studied Arabic literature at Harvard, and somehow Google hired me after that. I think it's because Google was growing faster than they could at the time. That was the first unexpected pivot in my career, and the second was that while I was doing a Fulbright in Jordan, someone from Mercy Corps recruited me to join him in Gaza to launch the first ever startup accelerator. At the time, he said, just come for 4 months, because I was thinking, Gaza? I had never gone to Palestine, even though I'd studied Arabic for many years, and I didn't know what to expect. For those of you who know as little about Palestine as I did when I arrived, it's called the Gaza Strip because its shape is a little bit like a strip. It sits on the Mediterranean, and it's 5 miles by 25 miles, which if you overlay on the San Francisco Peninsula, looks right about like that. It's part of the Palestinian territories, i.e. Palestine. The other part is much larger. It's called the West Bank, and it's divided from Gaza by Israel. Gaza sits on the Mediterranean and is absolutely spectacularly gorgeous. It is a place that's urban and densely populated. It's got the population of San Francisco and San Jose combined. It's also very young and well-educated. So when I first got there, I remember calling home the first week and calling my parents and saying, Mom, Dad, this place reminds me of Silicon Valley. Everyone has a smartphone that's better than mine. Everyone's building an app. And everyone's talking about where to go have lunch. So probably not the image you have of Gaza from the news. The population is 50% under the age of 18. My internet in Gaza is better than my internet has been anywhere else in the Arab world. And Palestine is one of the most educated parts of the Arab world. So it's got a 99% literacy rate, very high levels of tertiary education for both men and women. It's also a very sad place in many ways. So the borders have been pretty much entirely closed since 2007, with rare exceptions to that. Hamas took over government in 2007, and so the countries that surround Gaza closed down the borders in reaction to that. The policy, obviously, is a hope that the population of Gaza will overturn Hamas internally. The truth is that people within Gaza have very mixed feelings towards their government, but even people who are against Hamas feel absolutely powerless in the face of that entity. And so people have told me while I've been there that even if they wanted to do anything, they know they would just get shot the next day. And so you're living between a rock and a hard place. Because the borders are closed, most people that I meet in Gaza have never been more than 25 miles away from home in their entire lives. They've never seen anything else. As a result, unemployment, as you can imagine, is quite high because you can't get things in and out easily. So it used to be 15% in 1997. It's around 50% now. It is 70% for recent college graduates. So if you have a college degree, you're basically pretty much guaranteed not to have a job. I wanted to bring this to life for you guys a bit with some pictures that I took during my time there. So you see things like this all over the place, as well as statues of rockets and martyrs. This is the sad border crossing that I have the privilege to cross through, whereas most people don't. This is the one that's run by the Israeli army in coordination with the Palestinian Authority. And a small number of people, predominantly journalists and humanitarian workers, are allowed in and out. Because Gaza Sky Geeks is a part of Mercy Corps, I'm able to go in and out across that border. And I can also bring you guys, if you would like to come in and out across that border. We have brought over 50 mentors from around the world to coach our startups over the last year and a half. This is the brighter side of Gaza and what I fell in love with. So a picture a Gazan took of me jumping on the beach. A Microsoft event that we just held a few weeks ago, we had some of the top people from Microsoft's Accelerator in Seattle come out to Gaza. This is our startup weekend just this past October, and this is someone from here in Mountain View at Google who came to mentor. And I particularly love this picture because it depicts the unexpected vitality that you find in every corner in Gaza. This is that same military border crossing, and one of our mentors leaving Gaza doing tricks on his skateboard. A little about Gaza Sky Geeks. So because we operate in an environment where there is essentially no startup ecosystem, we try to provide, to the extent we can, a whole startup ecosystem from A to Z. It started off with outreach, and this part was originally funded by Google.org in 2011 and existed before I arrived. This is where we inspire people to launch startups and give them the basic skills to do so. The last part is the acceleration, which I guess I actually helped launch all of the rest. So the co-working hub is a space that not only provides people with stable electricity, which otherwise they don't have, it's also the only co-ed co-working hub in Gaza. And so people who have male and female teams that need to work together come to us because there's literally no other place where they can sit comfortably and work. And it creates a community of like-minded, crazily optimistic people in this environment where a lot of people might not understand what it is that they're doing at their computer every day. After that, we provide incubation program, which is where we essentially teach lean startup model. And then we broker investments with investors before people enter our acceleration program. So unlike other startup accelerators around the world, we don't hold our own investment fund. We broker investments with investors who are investing around the region. And when they invest for us, that's validation that they see an actual business opportunity. And the feedback we're getting from investors, we're in our second round right now, we're literally closing this next round of investments as I speak. The feedback we're getting is that investors are investing because they see better investment opportunities in Gaza than they're seeing elsewhere. Investments tend to be in the range of $20,000 for a seed level investment. That is the standard throughout the Arab world. So obviously that doesn't sound like a lot here. In Gaza, that has the purchasing power of around 200 to 500K, depending on what you're using it for. These are some examples of startups that we have launched or helped launch. Mektebi is the startup that's currently offered the biggest investment ever in Gaza's history. We have not publicized it yet. You guys are the first to hear this, but they've received an offer of 60K, which is three times the level of any other startup and basically the equivalent of 1.5 million here in Silicon Valley. They're an Airbnb for office space in the Middle East. Another example is El Mazed, which is a flippa for the Arab world, Kahkaha, which is a 9gag for the Arab world, essentially a crowdsourced humor website. We've got social games, dieting apps for Arab women, Walk and Charge is a wearable insole that charges your phone as you walk. Mostly, as you can see, it's consumer-facing mobile and web apps. And the reason for that is that that is both what people are more aware of. They're living in an environment where there is not a whole lot of enterprise, and so building things for enterprise is not something someone would necessarily think of not having been exposed to it. But it's also because this is easier to distribute when you're basically stuck in Gaza. We do have some interest and actually quite a bit of interest in hardware. And now that our accelerator exists and that we have people coming in and across the border every week, we can, to a certain extent, help hardware startups. But in the past, the feedback I used to get is that when people wanted to launch a hardware startup, even if they were planning to do their manufacturing elsewhere, building the prototype was tough because it took people 7 months to get their hands on an Arduino. So I'm going to share a few lessons out of the many lessons I've learned during my time in Gaza. And the first is that Gazans really want to join the global tech sector. People see this as an opportunity to build a future in a place where otherwise there's very little that you can build, because here all you need is your laptop and an internet connection. And during the war in 2014, I actually had one Gazan tell me, "I can imagine living without electricity, but I cannot imagine living without internet." I'll give you a few stories from the war in 2014. I left a week before it started. It was obviously an incredibly miserable time. I was in touch with my startups and with my team every day. I was here in Berkeley, California. And one of our teams was pitching to a program here in Silicon Valley called Black Box Connect, which is a program that brings startups from around the globe to Silicon Valley. And they went through with the pitch, despite the fact that the bombs were so loud and so close during the pitch that their entire building was shaking. So I get back to Gaza 2 weeks after the war, and I'm wondering, will anyone even care about startups after what they just went through? Does this still feel relevant to this community? And so I walk into the accelerator, and the first thing I see is that it's full. There's 70 people there. We can barely accommodate 60. And so it's jam-packed, and this team that had just been pitching the Black Box Connect, they're a husband and wife couple. They have a six-month-old baby. They come running up to me, and they, you know, my first question is, "How are you?" And their answer is, "What was the investor's feedback on our pitch? What do we need to change in order to get accepted next time?" Right? And they're not the only ones. There was another team that had just won Startup Weekend 2 weeks before the war broke out. And they came running up to me and said, "Hey, why has our incubation program not started yet?" So there is this incredible desire to be a part of something meaningful, to build something positive, and people see their laptops and their computer, you know, the internet, the startup movement, as a way to do that. People want to be building something positive. During the war, every ceasefire, I got messages from Gaza saying, "Can you open Gaza Sky Geeks?" And people gathered at Gaza Sky Geeks and worked on their startups whenever they could. Another major lesson during my time there has been that talent is definitely there, but it needs to be unlocked and it's waiting to be unlocked. And there's some very clear things you need to do to unlock that talent. The first step being awareness. This here is Mariam Aboutewi. She is the first woman in Gaza to ever receive investment for her startup. She was a third-year computer engineering student at the top university in Gaza and had never heard the word startup. She came to our startup weekend not because she knew what that meant, but because she heard Google was going to be there and she wanted to meet people from Google. So within the first hour, she was pitching an idea. It was Uber, and this was before Uber existed. At the end of the event, she came in second place, and she cried her heart out for not being in first place. Then she kept working on her startup for 2 years and eventually received investment. So that's what I mean by awareness. You have to create awareness that there is something that you can build even when you're in Gaza. And Mariam, by the way, since then has folded her startup. She's decided that she wasn't able to compete with Uber in the region. But in the meantime, she's gone off to Germany to get an MBA, which is something she never dreamed of before and would not have been able to do without this founder experience. And so she's working on cooking up her next startup. The next thing after awareness is you need to create knowledge capital. So we used to, in our first iteration in 2011, the first winner of Startup Weekend received $20,000, the equivalent of an investment that you now don't receive until you're leaving our accelerator. And the reason we don't give that much funding now is because people just don't know what to do with it. So what we've learned is that when people arrive into our incubation program, they generally have never worked on a group project before in college. They don't know how to do a calendar invite, a project plan. Nobody's used Git before, and nobody's heard of Lean Startup. And so our incubation program works with people really intensely over a period of 3 months to help them teach, you know, to teach them those skills and launch a prototype. We want to see that people are smart, learning quickly, and executing, and adaptable. And then after that, they work for 3 months on their business plan, and they pitch to the top investors in the region, and that's when they enter our acceleration model and get the financial capital. On an ongoing basis, what we keep hearing from our community in Gaza and what I have definitely seen is that the most value we can provide is by connecting them to the outside world. So because we're a part of Mercy Corps, the humanitarian organization, we're able to cross a border that nobody else is able to cross. And on my fifth day on the job, I was pulled into an emergency meeting with the Israeli army, in which I negotiated the permission not only for us to bring people to Gaza, which we'd always been able to do, but also to take our startups out of Gaza for the first time in their lives.
A quick break from Ileana for some recent startup headlines. IBM has launched an online simulator letting users experiment with quantum computing. Researchers must first apply for access, but once granted, it lets them work with IBM's hardware remotely. The company hopes it will encourage interest and development in the nascent field. Parking payment services Passport has raised $8 million in a Series B round led by MK Capital with participation from GrowTech Ventures and Relevance Capital. Passport provides the cloud-based backend for Park Boston, Park Chicago, and others, letting drivers use their smartphones to pay for parking. Passport has raised $17 million to date. Hulu expects to surpass 12 million subscribers this month, representing a 33% annual increase. They are also set to invest more in original programming, and the move follows rumors of an upcoming live TV service. The service would compare to Netflix, which claims 81.5 million users, though Hulu is available in fewer markets. Let's get back to the presentation from Ileana Montauk.
Another huge lesson. Thank you. It was a pretty scary fifth day on the job. So another thing that I've seen we have in Gaza is an incredible amount of women leaders and potential leaders. And so in this way, I think there is an opportunity in Gaza that might not even exist elsewhere. So our organic traction with women at Gaza Sky Geeks from 2011 to 2013 was 25%. And we figured that's pretty high compared to the rest of the world. Let's see what can happen if we put some attention to it. And actually, Google for Entrepreneurs challenged us to bring that number up. So we did some research and ended up running a pilot that brought up our women's participation throughout all of our activities, outreach, community, et cetera. It brought it up to 49% in 2014, which I would venture to say is probably higher than anywhere else in the world. And the reason that that's possible in Gaza is a fewfold, but one major part is that women in Gaza don't think they're worse in STEM fields, in science and math, than men. So whereas in the rest of the world, women often, or at least here in the United States, I grew up thinking that maybe I wasn't as good at math and science as my brother. In Gaza, when I tell women that, they say, "Are you crazy? We're better than men." And so that's a huge strength and something that we'd like to explore more. Last lesson I'll share with you for now is that launching startups in Gaza is safe and possible, but always adventuresome. The adventures simply never stop. By saying it's safe and possible, I absolutely do not mean to downplay the fact that there is a really miserable situation and that people go through a lot when the wars happen. That's a whole nother story. But at the same time, and I've actually gotten a lot of mentorship on this from Israeli mentors, wars in Gaza tend to be more of a cost than a risk, in that because it's a part of the world that's so closely watched, they follow a very specific pattern. So you have a several week-long buildup before a war breaks out, which might not be covered in the news here. But when you're there, you see it. And that's why I was not in Gaza when the last war broke out. Mercy Corps asked me to leave. And during that time, you put in your business continuity plan. If you have clients, if you have users, you need your startup to keep working during the war. If you're in idea stage, then you take an unfortunate forced vacation during that time. And trust me, Gazans don't take any other vacations because they can't travel. So their productivity over the course of years ends up just as high as here. If you do have clients, then you usually have a startup in the West Bank or a partner in the West Bank keep things going for you during the war, which typically lasts about 4 weeks because the world's watching and puts a lot of pressure for things to end and get livable before then. But in terms of the adventures, most of the adventures have to do with these border crossings. And even though we now have very reliable access to get startups out of Gaza into Israel, Gazans are not able to fly out of Tel Aviv. That's an Israeli rule. Nobody from Gaza can fly out of the Tel Aviv airport. So if you want to fly, say, to Silicon Valley, you either have to exit Gaza through the southern side and go down to Cairo, which is basically impossible these days. You used to be able to pay a $5,000 bribe to do it. Now, not even that will get you across the border. Or you cross into Israel, and then you cross into Jordan and fly out of the Amman airport. And that has been generally reliable. But a couple weeks ago, in December, 500 Startups was running a Geeks on a Plane event in Jordan, and they invited our startups to come pitch. So we're like, sure, no problem. We can get all the permits. We'll get them into Jordan. Suddenly, Jordan stopped issuing visas for Gazans out of the blue. We couldn't get visas for any of our startups to go. This is, for them, the highest visibility event they're going to be at all year. It's a high priority for us as an organization. So we reach out to all of our board members, every influential person we know in the region, asking them for help getting 15 visas for 15 startup founders to enter Jordan. Nobody knows what to do. We end up making the decision to just take them to the border and hope something good happens at the last minute. And so as we head out of Gaza, one startup founder gets pulled to the side suddenly at the Israeli border for a security interview and literally disappears for 12 hours. We have no idea what's happening to him. In the meantime, the rest of the group goes on, because what are you supposed to do? And we're all waiting at the Jordanian border for 16 hours, which means that the guy from the Gaza border ends up arriving before we've made it into Jordan. And while we're there, we eventually reach the CEO of the top telco in Jordan, who is sponsoring the Geeks on a Plane event in Jordan. And he gets on the phone and will not get off the phone until those people at the border let us through. So everyone made it through. This trip from... thank you. This trip from Gaza to Jordan, to Amman, is the equivalent distance of San Francisco to Monterey. On a good day, it takes a Gazan 12 hours to make that trip. On a day like that, it obviously took longer. So we have learned over time to give them a recovery day the day after. So we arrive a day early for anything that we're doing. So they had their little recovery day. The next day at the event, our startup wins. This is a picture of him. And it's actually the guy who had gotten pulled aside for the 12-hour security interview. He's the one who wins. And his attitude was like, you think the pitch was hard? You should have seen the security interview. So he won a $5,000 check, which is a quarter of the investment he's received. For him, this is obviously a big deal. And that's Dave McClure there in the background giving him the check. So that's what it's like to run a startup accelerator or a startup in Gaza. And if you would like to get involved, there's lots of different things you can do to help. The first and the easiest one is just get the word out about the fact that these entrepreneurs exist and that they want to be living a life like this and that they can, even under the conditions they're in. So post this on Twitter, post this on your Facebook page. We've discovered over time that your Facebook pages are the best way to get the word out about anything that we're doing or anything we need. Make introductions for us. Stay in touch. We've got a Google group for our closest supporters where we send out about 2 emails per month. Go ahead and email us at info@gazaskygeeks.com if you want to join. If you'd like to mentor, you can mentor remotely or in Gaza. There's a mentor application form that's easy to find on our website. You can also volunteer on our team. A lot of our team, because we're continually underfunded, half of my team is pro bono people who work 10 hours a week from Silicon Valley or London or wherever. If you'd like to partner with us, go ahead and message us about that. We have an interesting pilot going on with Microsoft right now, where we're exploring a second line of business of launching software consultancies. And we're essentially building out, we're training a team in Gaza that's building a product for an enterprise client of Microsoft's in Morocco. If you'd ever like to invest in our startups, get in touch about that. We're looking at potentially launching our own fund or working with people through an angelist syndicate. And then most importantly, if you can help financially, please do. Startup ecosystems like the one we have here were launched decades ago through government funding to institutions like Stanford. We don't have that kind of support in Gaza. If you want to have a positive future in Gaza, this is the kind of thing that needs to get funded. And the Palestinian government is not able to fund this, so it has to come from elsewhere. We ran a crowdfunding campaign that was the biggest campaign ever run in the Arab world, and I know some of its supporters are here in the room because I see one. We've learned that every $25 makes a difference. So that campaign sustained us for a year and a half. That was the only money we had to run off of. And if you donate today at gazastarts.com, if you make a donation of $50, I promise to personally send you a sticker. If you make a donation of $250 or more, I promise to personally send you a t-shirt. And if you donate, that's if you donate today. And if you donate today, we'll also give you priority as a mentor to come to Gaza during our next events. We have a startup weekend coming up in July, and a boot camp coming up either in August or September. And obviously, if you work as a part of a company or an organization that would like to partner with us in a larger way, let us know. Our biggest supporters today are Google, Skoll Foundation, and VTOL Foundation. And now we have a little bit of time for questions.
Hi, yeah. So my main question was regarding intellectual property for the startups. I have a pretty limited perspective around property rights in both Palestine and Israel. From my experience, there doesn't seem to be any equivalent to the rule of law I'm familiar with. So if you can explain how that might work for them to raise, to add value to the things they create.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and a huge thing that you're touching on is, where do our startups actually register? What kind of an entity would you be investing in? So our startups currently are registering in the West Bank or in the United States.
Okay.
We don't have any startups registering in Gaza. In terms of West Bank law, I think, to the best of my knowledge, it's relatively similar to the United States law in terms of intellectual property, but it's not necessarily enforceable. And so what we do is we register our startups based off of what our investors want. We have some investors that are from the region, and they understand the regional law the most, and so they ask us to register those startups in the West Bank.
And
we
Israel is not an option?
Hmm?
Israel incorporation laws are not an option?
It probably would not be an option.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't looked into it, but it probably wouldn't make sense for a variety of reasons.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And similarly, how do you avoid financing Hamas-related activities?
Yeah, very, very important question.
In the past, the U.S. has cooperated with Israel in sanctioning the Palestinian Authority as well as Hamas.
Yeah, yeah. The U.S. is actually one of the biggest proponents of humanitarian aid in Gaza, and Mercy Corps has been the deliverer of that aid. So your U.S. tax dollars go to an organization called USAID, mm-hmm. Which then delivers that money to Gaza in the form of humanitarian aid supplied by Mercy Corps, which means that we are very, very closely watched regarding where money goes, and there's very clear systems in place to ensure it doesn't go to Hamas. So everyone that comes into our program, by the time they're headed to an investor for a pitch, not even for an actual investment, they've all been screened to make sure that they have no relation to Hamas. So none of the individuals that we work with do. And the ultimate screening is that they get an Israeli permit to exit Gaza, which obviously is an even higher level of screening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wow, that sounds hard.
That was
okay.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Sorry, we only have time for one more.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to thank you for your great presentation. My name is Ahmed. I'm a startup grind director in back then in Khartoum, Sudan, and I understand exactly what you are facing. Back then in Sudan, we almost had almost the same situations. No investment. There is a United States sanction in Sudan, so imagine being a technology entrepreneur and you can't access code.google or any service provided by Google or Amazon or Vimeo or a United States-based company. Back then, we don't have VCs or investors or even incubators or accelerators. So we just even started startup weekend event on a startup grind just back then, 2 years back. So my question is, how you get people like Google, companies like Google and Microsoft, to actually funding for it? And by the way, I'm talking really serious, $2,000 in Sudan back then could make up a great company, because the economy there is very bad. Yeah, this is my question.
Yeah, yeah. So the question is, how do we get partners like Google for Entrepreneurs or Google.org or Microsoft involved? I guess in a nutshell, we sell what we see there, right? It's a sales process. But the best part of my sales process is to bring someone to Gaza. So Google originally came to Gaza in 2009 in a partnership through Mercy Corps. They wanted to come. They asked us to come. And after they left, they went to Eric Schmidt directly and said, we have to fund something there. There is so much potential, and it's completely untapped. And if we don't do anything, nobody will.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
thanks. Really cool.
So thank you, everyone. I think we're done. And I'll be around if anyone has any further questions, or if you sign up for our newsletter, our Google group, or anything like that. We're also hosting regular meetups in Silicon Valley, and would be happy to take this conversation there.
Quick question. How many emails do you have in your inbox right now? 100? 1,000? 20,000? If your email is anything like mine used to be, the answer is too many. But here's the thing, even though I knew I wanted to do something about it, I just didn't know how. I knew I'd miss something important if I just deleted them all, and there were too many emails to go through one at a time. Thankfully, I found Samebox, and I can't recommend it enough. Samebox sorts through your email and moves all of the trivial stuff into a different folder, so only the messages in your inbox are the ones you actually want to see. There's also this amazing thing called Black Hole. Move an email into that folder, and you'll never hear from that sender again. It's so rewarding. Visit samebox.com/startupgrind today and get an extra $20 credit on top of the already free 2-week trial. Check it out today and let me know if you love reaching inbox zero as easily as I do nowadays. Again, that's SAN. NEBOX.com/startupgrind.